The NFL is running out of undefeated teams. In fact, there's only one left in the AFC, and it's the back-to-back defending Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs. But this week, they'll try to stay unblemished against a really good New Orleans Saints team that started out as hot as any in the league to start the 2024 season. It is all brought to you by Ticketmaster. We saw a lot of you in Los Angeles, and I'm sure a lot of you use Ticketmaster as you can all year long, home or road. Handoff goes to Piran, behind right guard, trying to press forward, a bunch of bodies, into the end zone! Touchdown, Kansas City! Hi, everybody. I'm Mitch Holtis, voice of the Chiefs, along with senior team reporter Matt McMullen. This episode, we're talking attack it, attacking challenges. Our garb, this is the crucial catch game, which is done every year by all of the 32 teams in the NFL, and of course, it deals with the dynamics of cancer. All of these colors around the arrowhead here represent a different kind of cancer. Matt, it's touched every family. It's touched yours. It's touched mine. And in any way, shape, or form, to attack it, if that's after a diagnosis, I should say, how you treat that and attack it to try to arrest it or to prevent it. And that's where the crucial catch comes in, to do the precautions, to try to do our best to attack and beating cancer.
Yeah, it's another great example of how the NFL uses its platform to do good in the community, in our country, and around the world. And I don't think any of us want to think about cancer. It's not a fun thing to think about. But what our hoodies and what the game presentation and everything is meant to do is to remind everyone that it exists, but there's things that you can do to prevent the worst case scenario. And one of the best parts of the Crucial Catch game every single year are all the survivors that are brought down on the field. We have a whole bunch of survivors that were presented with tickets to this game. They're going to go to the game and be a part of the whole presentation. And they're a great reminder that if you get ahead of this kind of thing, you can beat it. So no one likes to talk about cancer, but this is also a celebration of beating cancer as well.
Yeah, and Greg Sharp, who is the play-by-play voice of the Nebraska Cornhuskers, you and I will get a chance to meet him and talk to him. I've known him a long time. But diagnosed in the springtime with pancreatic cancer, and so he's attacking it, trying to fight through it. He did some baseball for the Huskers. They won the Big Ten title. He was able to call that game. Then also he's done home games in Lincoln, but his wife Amy, she's from Topeka. Greg's from Kansas City. But he's been involved in the markets in Topeka. He's, of course, involved in the Lincoln and Omaha markets as the voice of the Huskers. Three beautiful daughters. They'll be at the game. But it comes to mind when you see how it affects the family. But we're looking forward to hosting Greg, and it's just been a rough go for them.
I think it's really cool that he's continued to work for the Huskers. He probably loves Dylan Raiola, right?
Oh, yeah. He sees – well, he's a Chiefs fan, too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he loves to see the baby Patrick.
Little Cuzzo.
Little Cuzzo in action. So it's been a little rough for the Huskers the last couple weeks, but hey.
They're competitive at least.
Oh, yeah. Little Cuzzo and Coach Matt Rhule. But anyway, it's just an example of what all of you have faced. Every family has been affected in one way, shape, or form. But there's an awareness here to, as you put it very well, to try to prevent it, arrest it, attack it. Anyway, not to let it defeat us physically, obviously, but also psychologically and in a mental standpoint. All right, let's go around the world before we talk about how the Chiefs are going to attack it, because now we're dealing with adversity again. We have forgotten of how Andy Reid is probably the best thing he does is handle flashpoints. I talk about this across the country when I speak publicly. Andy Reid's a master at handling flashpoints. But let's go around the world before we do that.
Let's do it. I've got 10 today.
Oh.
I've got some good ones, too.
Wow.
So shout out to Travis from a small town in northeast Oregon called Athena, which is famous for its rodeo. You'd probably like Athena.
Yeah.
He watched football with his brothers every weekend growing up. And in 1992, his older brother, who was a Bears fan, made him pick a team that was not the Bears. Kind of like a brotherly thing, and he picked the Chiefs. And also, the local high school team in Athena, he knew that you would like this, is the Tiger Scots.
Oh,
yeah,
the best.
The Tiger Scots. So anyway, shout out to you, Travis. I love Oregon. Oregon's awesome. Those that have been listening to DTK for a long time know that I interned with the Salem Kaiser Volcanoes out there in Oregon, a minor league baseball team years and years ago. Oregon's a beautiful place. So shout out to Travis.
Shout out to Logan Webb, the ace of the San Francisco Giants staff, who was your colleague with the Volcanoes.
If you watch baseball, you know who Logan Webb is. And yeah, he was 18 years old when I was with the Volcanoes. I got to know Logan Webb. Like, we'd hang out, and now he's Cy Young contender every single year. Life comes at you fast. But
would he give you the second look if you walk by and he goes, "Hey, oh, hey"?
I don't know. Maybe if I wore Volcanoes gear, we can try it one of these days.
I got to get some Volcanoes gear.
I have some upstairs. I'll give it to you.
Ooh.
It's hard to come by now because they don't exist as like a affiliated minor league team anymore. I think they kind of are in like a their own league now.
Okay.
But anyway, we can get some Volcanoes gear. Anyway, Lori is listening from Cochrane, Alberta, up in Canada. Eric is listening from New Orleans, out there in enemy territory.
Mm.
He said he hoped I had a good trip when I was down there earlier this year. I did. I really enjoyed my time in New Orleans. March is the time to go to New Orleans, or February.
Unless it's February.
Or
I was just going to say, we're hopefully going back there.
Yep, yep, sir. That's the plan. Chris is in Ridgeland, South Carolina, otherwise known as Chiefs Kingdom Southeast. Gary is listening from Trinidad and Tobago. That's a new one for us.
Yeah, it is new.
Of course, in the Caribbean. He lived in Wichita from 2000 to 2008, but now at Trinidad and Tobago. So shout out to Gary. We have a new listener who's been a fan since 1992 and stumbled upon the podcast. Thank you for listening. He mentioned that he dressed up like Joe Montana in 1994 for Halloween. It's a pretty good costume.
92 is a big year here. We've got two 92 fans.
Yeah, two 92 fans.
Okay,
yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Where's he from?
Let's see. We don't know.
Okay.
Did not tell us where he is from, but he did dress up like Joe Montana in 1994 for Halloween. Morgan is from Ocean Springs, Mississippi. Ever been there?
No.
Okay. Ocean Springs, Mississippi. Originally, though, get ready, from Plainville.
Plainville, the Cardinals.
Mm-hmm.
How did she get from Plainville to Ocean Springs, Mississippi?
I didn't say, but yeah, originally from Plainville. Said shout out to you.
Okay.
Yep.
Mid-Continent League pride.
Mm-hmm. Ryan is from Newark, New Jersey, from Ocean Springs, Mississippi to Newark, New Jersey, kind of a divide there. Troy is in Shinglehouse, Pennsylvania. Troy writes in all the time. Good to hear from you, Troy. And lastly, one of my favorite things when we travel is it happens like every week, whether it be like an elevator attendant or a security person or someone like a worker at the road team stadium always kind of pulls us aside and says, "Hey, go Chiefs." And it's like, okay,
it's every week.
All right. And I met one at SoFi this past weekend. He is from Topeka originally, but has lived in LA now for 50 years. He normally only works the Rams games, but every year he asks specifically to work the Chargers and Chiefs game to secretly root on the Chiefs. So I will not out you. I will not say your name.
No, do not.
But
his
you
last
know who
Charger
you are.
Game works.
You know who you are, and go Chiefs.
Love it. Couple here, this was one, a shout out to both of us that came on Twitter/X. RJ Abella, who is the sand volleyball coach at the University of South Carolina. So Gamecock sand volleyball.
Okay.
We got to have a shirt for that, don't we? Sand volleyball from
oh, yeah.
Gamecocks?
We have to. It's our favorite thing to do at camp. This guy is really good at sand volleyball, let me tell you.
Anyway. And a shout-out, too, to Tyler Garrett, who now works for the Chiefs, that is Coach Reed's niece. She was a menace in sand volleyball for the Missouri State Bears.
Go Bears.
She was high school in Phoenix, Arizona, got recruited by a different school to play sand volleyball. She decided to go to Springfield, Missouri, and play for the Missouri State Bears. So shout-out to all of our sand volleyball players, of which there are many, I'm sure, that are Kingdom Defenders and are with us in every episode of Defending the Kingdom. Another one is Mike Saft. Have you ever done shortwave radio?
No.
It's fascinating. He's a shortwave radio operator. He's also an incredible graphic artist in Smith Center, Kansas. Right?
Okay.
All right. Mike is a Kingdom Defender. He also was listening to the Chiefs Kingdom show the other night when we had Carson Steele on. But and he was impressed because I name dropped on David Letterman, who was talking about Carson Steele because of Ball State.
Uh-huh.
Right? All right. But anyway, Mike is great at, he's a shortwave radio operator. And so he'll talk to ships at sea and people all around the world in just direct conversation. So
it's like in disaster movies when everything's falling apart and it's trying
to
get a
signal. You go to shortwave radio, the Titanic's trying to reach the Carpathia.
Yeah, exactly.
That's him. But he'll go, "Hey, we're with Trinidad and Tobago." So it might be something we could do in Defending the Kingdom to immediately connect to our folks around the world. You mentioned the kid from Oregon, and all of a sudden,
yeah,
we're with the dude from Oregon via Mike Saft, shortwave radio operator.
I love it.
Anyway, big shout out to him. I love his avatar in social media. It's Emmett Kelly the Clown, who's from Kansas, by the way. He's from Sedan, Kansas. Was, sorry. He's passed, but yep, Emmett Kelly the Clown. Check it out. All right, let's jump into attacking this because right now the Chiefs face an enormous challenge. Hollywood Brown goes down after the first catch of the preseason. Now Rashi Rice goes down with a knee injury, suffered after trying to get the ball back in the interception in the second drive of the game against the Chargers on this pass game.
Play by Rashi, too, to punch it out.
And, so good. And yeah, we're, you know, anyway.
It's bad luck.
Yep, it's heartbreaking. And then Isaiah Pacheco, of course, injured. So now you've got three guys you could add up almost 2,800 yards and, I don't know, about 15 touchdowns. Now you got to figure that out of those three guys being gone. But let's jump in. This is where Andy Reid is, to me, I think maybe his greatest attribute of all of his attributes, his ability to troubleshoot, his ability to handle flashpoints. Because we all forget in 12 years of 12 winning seasons, 8 straight AFC West titles, we forget the adversity. Every team that Andy Reid has faced big-time challenges. And instead of backing off or feeling sorry for, if he even, I had the rebuke, I've had it many times, where he'll just look at you like, what are you talking about? We got to figure this out, and to attack the problem and attack the flashpoint. And year and year after year after year, if we can remind him here, we can remind the fans of what Andy Reid has done.
And I think Chiefs Kingdom is well aware of this. I do think there is like a certain amnesia at the national level. If I turn on like SportsCenter or something, I think they are under the impression that we've just had no adversity over the years and won like every game 50-0. Every year has something because it's football and it's hard. And it's even harder for us, it seems like, because we are the team to go after for all of these teams. I hearken back to when we were in Atlanta. I mean, it felt like the Super Bowl. And I'm not trying to disparage the Falcons. It's just what it felt like. It was a huge, huge game in Atlanta, and it was week 3. Well, we deal with that every single week, and then you throw in other adverse situations like losing Rashi Rice for however long, losing Hollywood Brown, losing Pop for however long we're going to lose him. It makes things difficult, but we have a track record here of having adverse situations and overcoming them, and it makes the end result all the more epic. And the one that always pops in my head is Patrick Mahomes in 2022 with the ankle injury. I mean, to overcome a high ankle sprain against the Jaguars, to win that game on the high ankle sprain, his touchdown to MVS on like one leg is one of my favorite like forgotten plays ever. Then to beat the Bengals the next week on the high ankle sprain, you get 2 weeks off. Things don't go well in the first half against the Eagles. He's limping off the field. What do you know? He wins the game in the second half. That's the kind of adverse thing in a microcosm level that we're dealing with here now. You lose some players that are big-time contributors, guys that you're counting on. Well, the Chiefs don't just pack it in and say, oh, well, things aren't going how we thought they would, so what are we going to do? That's not how it works here. And every single year, and you can go through some more as well, we've seen something happen, and it's a crossroads kind of thing where a lot of teams would just pack it in and say, it's not our year. And the Chiefs actually, I think, get energized by it. They're actually more motivated than they were before by the adversity. So we'll see what happens with this, but I have all the faith in the world in Patrick Mahomes and Coach Reid because they've shown it time and time again.
Where do you start in 23? Most drops, minus 11 giveaway-takeaway ratio. You lose the Christmas Day game to the Raiders. Gloom and doom outside the fort. Coach Reid, I'll fix it. We'll figure this out. Oh, when's the Super Bowl? When you look at 22, you just mentioned all of the with Pat and his high ankle sprain, but Chad Henne leads a 98-yard drive to help beat Jacksonville in the divisional playoff game. That's from infrastructure and people not panicking on the sideline. The end of the year in 13 and 21, both really devastating kind of playoff losses after having big leads.
Yeah.
And could have won both Cincinnati and the AFC Championship game of the Colts in 13. So what happens? Figures it out. You rebound to have incredible years the next year. 2014, you lose two guys within a minute in Derek Johnson and Mike DeVito. You come rally to go 9-7. Chiefs have never had a losing record since Andy Reid has been here. Where we go? Start 1-5 in 2015. You win 10 straight games. That set a record at the time. Went to the playoffs. Won a playoff game. 2016, dealing with the injury to Derek Johnson. I can still see it right in front of me in the Raider game. Oh, 2017, lost 6 out of 7 games. Rallied to win the last 4, win the division for the second year in a row. And so there's another example. 2018, the same. 2020, COVID, and just handling all that. Andy Reid is
3-4 start in 2021.
He's a master at handling these kind of situations. You and I have seen it. Easy to take it for granted. But he's handling flashpoints because he attacks it. He doesn't retreat from it or feel sorry for himself or the team.
And we're also 4-0. Keep that in mind.
Thanks for that. Thanks for the reminder. There's, what, 2 left, Minnesota and us. That's it.
We're 4-0, and we've beaten Baltimore, Cincinnati, Atlanta on the road. I think Atlanta's pretty good. And yes, a divisional opponent in the Chargers. I get they were beat up, but it's still a divisional opponent on the road. Those are some really hard-earned, solid victories. And we have some adversity here with the injury situations, but you just move ahead, you power through it, and you find a way. And we have the absolute best in the business with a track record of finding the way despite adverse situations.
And the next chapter in trying to attack adversity would be playing the New Orleans Saints, who I also think are a really good team.
Yeah.
They got off to an incredible start. They blew out Carolina because, well, it's Carolina, they're not that good. Then they went to Dallas and shocked everybody, put up a 40-burger on the Cowboys there. Now, they've lost 2 tough games since then, but it was 3-0 in the fourth quarter against the Philadelphia Eagles, and that was a rock fight. They lose it at the very end in the last minute, and then they lose a game at Atlanta, a division opponent, and do not give up an offensive touchdown and lose that game. This is a good New Orleans Saints team. When you look at them statistically, you can just they have the most points scored of any team in the National Football League on offense. And then on defense, when you look at it, they're the best red zone defensive team in the league. That kind of stuff gets your attention.
Sure does. Alvin Kamara also gets your attention. To me, Alvin Kamara is the whole key. And the start to the year has been kind of interesting because I think a lot of the teams that we've faced have a focal point guy. Not every team is that way. Like, I look at the Eagles, I don't necessarily think they have a focal point guy. Saquon Barkley is really important to their offense, but they also have Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown and Jalen Hurts. Well, all these teams that we've faced early on seem to have, like, that focal point guy. That was the case with Atlanta, as Bijan Robinson, and the Chiefs did an excellent job of shutting him down. Last week against the Chargers, it's J.K. Dobbins. He was, like, their entire offense. You got to shut him down. And the Chiefs did that with great success. Well, now it's Alvin Kamara. And what a year he's having. He has 97 touches for 536 scrimmage yards and 6 touchdowns through 4 games. That would be a really good season for some players, and he's done that now in 4 games. He leads the NFL in all 3 categories right now. He's touched the ball on 46% of the Saints' offensive plays, so like half of their plays he's touching the football, and he's recorded 38% of their total yards as a team. And what's interesting, if you only watch red zone or highlights, and to be honest, before this week, I wasn't watching a ton of Saints football, just kind of following what they're doing in terms of highlights, right? Well, you would think they're throwing the ball all over the place. It's actually the opposite. So they're running the ball at the highest rate in the NFL, 57% of the time. And 53% of their rushes are kind of to the outside. They don't run up the middle at all. And they've been really good on third down because they're staying out of third down for the most part and staying out of third and long. They've been very good making it third and short whenever they are facing third down. So they run the ball a ton. They're good on third down, and they don't throw the ball much. They're running at the highest amount in the NFL. That means they're throwing at the lowest rate in the NFL. But when they do, they've been very efficient with it. And that's the key in this game for the Chiefs. You got to stop the run first and foremost and not let that play-action passing game of the Saints get rolling.
That's why the game in Atlanta was a little bit surprising because they had not beaten themselves prior to that game. You mentioned third down. They're second in the league in third down offensive percentage. Only Washington is better. But where it gets interesting for the Chiefs is the fact that the Saints are near the top of the league in being +3 in the giveaway-takeaway ratio with 8 takeaways in 4 games. Now, the Chiefs are -4. We know that's got to turn. We just mentioned last year, -11 and still win the Super Bowl. Man, you're really working against the numbers if you do that. Even being -4 after 4 and to be 4-0 is really working against the numbers. This is a team that likes to punch it out, take it away, and do something with it. Because we mentioned the offensive numbers. Chris Olave is good as well. But this is a nasty defense that likes to punch it out, take it away, very similar to what the Chiefs faced in the Chargers.
They've been good. A lot of old friends on this defense as well.
Reunion tour.
Yep.
Are they going to bring their rings to the game?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Maybe. I don't think so, though.
Just hide it in there. Colin Saunders might.
He might. But Tyrann Mathieu is having a nice year. Two interceptions already, and they have six interceptions as a team. It's a stingy defense, and they've been good. They've been kind of middle of the pack in a lot of categories, but they've been very bend but don't break. They've allowed hardly any red zone drives at all, fourth fewest in the NFL with nine allowed. And when teams do get in the red zone, they're allowing opponent touchdowns just 22% of the time, best in the NFL. There are a couple areas the Chiefs' offense really needs to clean up. It's the turnovers, and it's the red zone offense. And this Saints defense is pretty good at both of those things, but it's also a great opportunity for the Chiefs to turn that around here against these guys. Because really with the Chiefs' offense, I get it hasn't fully met our expectations, but a lot of these things seem like fixable issues, like things that if we could just correct a couple of things here or there, a play here or there, don't fumble in the red zone or whatever it may be, the offense is close, and it won't be easy against the Saints defense because they're very talented, but I also know that this offense loves a great challenge, and it's an opportunity here to go against a worthy opponent here in New Orleans defensively and turn those things around.
Our old Raider friend Derek Carr is the quarterback, having a good year, efficient, but gave Clint Kubiak, who is their offensive coordinator, credit for helping Derek kind of find his zone. And last year they were close to getting to the playoffs. Just at the very end, they let it slip away, and Carr had some issues at the end of the year, but he's doing it now. Now, we'll close out this way with what they do on the defensive side of the ball. There's three guys that have at least 3.5 sacks, or at least three sacks. One's the nickelback, Alante Taylor. He's got 3.5 sacks by himself. It tells you aggressive scheme, much like Steve Spagnuolo's scheme when your D-back has 3.5 sacks. But there's a couple others here. Brian Brzee, remember, he was a little bit of the draft talk a couple years ago coming out of Clemson. He has 3 sacks. And then the guy that, because I know he's an enemy, but Trey Hendrickson, to me, is probably the most underrated player in the AFC.
Maybe you love Trey Hendrickson.
Oh, why doesn't nobody talk about him? I have found the NFC version of Trey Hendrickson, and it's Carl Granderson.
Yeah. Nobody talks about Carl Granderson.
Oh, my gosh. He had 8.5 sacks last year. He's got 3 this year in 4 weeks. And last year they were 23rd in the league with the fifth worst pressure rate. So 26th in the league. Where am I? 32 minus 5. 27th in the league. But now they're roaring back. I mean, they're attacking the quarterback. They've got 12 sacks in 4 games. But it's Granderson who is – he's going to put a lot of pressure on the Chiefs' tackles in this game.
Got to protect. I believe we've only allowed 1 sack in our last 2 games, though, and that includes last week against Khalil Mack and that Chargers front. That's good. Got to keep that going here, though, because you're facing a very good opportunistic secondary here in the Saints. Don't want to have Patrick Mahomes under duress the entire game. So hopefully we can protect against these guys and control the line of scrimmage. On the other side, though – how good has our defense been?
Ugh.
They've been absolutely remarkable. I mean, in so many ways, the Chiefs' defense kept the Chiefs in the game last week against the Chargers. Things could have unraveled there when it was 10-0, but they found a way to force 6 punts, 4 three and outs, miss field goal, and a turnover on downs at the 3-yard line. And our guy, Jalen Watson, who I think is going to join us here pretty soon, was right in the middle of it. I think it was one of his best games as a Chief.
Yeah, I almost had the pick. Could have been a pick 6, but his coverage, playing press, or he defends against the run is outstanding. So why wait? Let's have a chance now to talk to number 35, Jalen Watson. Well, as promised, and part of our Attacking Challenges podcast, we bring in the perfect dude, Jalen Watson, number 35. I don't know what it is about the Chargers that gets you fired up, but you have some of your best games against them.
Right, right.
One of my favorite all-time regular season calls was your 99-yard pick 6 your rookie year.
Electric,
people keep
man.
Playing it, you know, over and over, and I love it. But just winning that game, showing some toughness as a team and as a DB group to pull that game off.
Yeah, it was a great feeling. You know, the Chargers, they always present so many problems, and you got Herbert, such a talented quarterback, and to just go out there, you know, we didn't have the best first quarter, and then to not give up any more points, it just showed – how we stay together, how we're a unity, and how we just fight together to the end and find ways to scratch, claw, and get a win.
So your numbers in coverage were obviously really good. More than 30 coverage snaps. I think you were targeted 5 times, didn't allow a single catch, 2 of those on third down. But your run defense was also impressive. You had that great play on 3rd and 1 on Dobbins where 3rd and 1, they're going to pick it up, and you say, no, I'm going to come around the edge and stop them, and they punted. Playing for Spags, I feel like as a corner, you have to be a good run defender. Can you speak to that and why that's important to you?
Yeah, he always preaches, you know, how our DBs, we tackle well, and it's going to be hard to, you know, get on the field and play in this defense if you can't. And our DBs, we do a great job, and everyone holds each other accountable. And tackling is just a will thing. You just have to want to do it, and all 11 guys buy in, and that's what we do.
Not all corners want to tackle, but this guy does.
Oh, yeah. So all of them do. Close to a pick six. Are you thinking about another Charger pick? It's close.
I hate talking about it. I always brag on me and the DBs, you know, we be in competition to show who had the best hands, and I always said I did, but I'm going to just be humble now. I'm going to be quiet, sit back, and, you know, just wait for another one.
None of them have a 99-yard pick six. You got scoreboard on them. But I do want to ask you about, and Matt and I talk about all the time, the 22 draft class. Your guys, especially the Fab Five, but really everybody in that group, you guys are 43-0 in the playoffs as defenders. What makes the group special? And did you see it from the very beginning with your pledge class, so to speak?
Yes, I promise I seen it. It was OTAs. It was like the second week of OTAs. Mind you, this defense is so hard to pick up on. And we used to have meetings in a rookie hotel, just the whole Fab Five trying to go over the playbook and get it all together. And then it was one practice, all 5 of us practiced really well. And we were like, we're going to be really good. And all of us agreed. And just to see it happen, everyone coming into their self, it's a great thing to look at. And we're just excited and trying to get another one.
Is there something about all the playoff experience and success that you guys have as a unit and as a defense overall that when you're down 10 to nothing on the road against the Chargers, nobody panics? Everyone knows, like, we got this.
Yeah, I mean, Coach Spaz preaches that, our leaders. We're down 10-0. Chris came in the huddle and said, this is nothing. We've been here before. We've been through worse. And we all knew that the offense was going to get it clicking. We just got to find a way for all three phases to click at the same time, and we'll be a pretty scary team.
On your 99-yard return, I was kind of reading your bio as you're going down the field. I said, you're from cooking hamburgers in Augusta, Georgia, JUCO, and fighting through all the injuries to having the career you're having. Are there times – let me ask, how many times are there you just sit down, you're by yourself and going, man, what a ride this is. Do you ever have those feelings?
Sometimes I do, but I always want so much more for myself. I know my potential. I know what I can be, and watching guys like Trent accomplish what he's accomplished so far and being under Snead and just watching those guys go after it, you know, it instills something in me. Snead taught me so much. I, you know, miss him so much. That's my dog there. But it's the next man up, and I know I have big shoes to fill, but each and every day I'm trying my best to do what I can to, you know, help this team out.
You just told our social team that you were 35 because you were the 35th corner out of 36 taken in your draft class. How does that motivate you? Because you obviously are a lot better than the 35th corner taken that year.
Yeah, I mean, it put a chip on my shoulder coming into the league, just watching so many guys get drafted in front of me and me looking at it as if I should have been drafted a lot earlier. But each and every game, you just have to make everyone that look past you pay for it.
You guys, and talk about the 22 class, you guys prepare so well for every week. Final question deals with the Saints. Chris Olave's there. Rashid Shaheed seems to be underrated. The dude can fly. Yep. What about defending these guys?
I mean, we're just starting the playbook and, you know, watching film. We're going to let Spaz cook. That's what he that's what he does every week, and we're going to trust in his game plan. And whatever we have, I'm sure it's going to be a great game plan, as he does every week.
Maybe be another pick six this week. But know this, number 35 will be attacking the Saints. Wow, when you talk about attacking it, it started his rookie year with a 99-yard pick six against the Chargers. But even then, he'll come up with the big play at a big time. And just to see how much he has grown since a career in college, from junior college, to go to Wazoo and then to come here and flourish here is just amazing. Jalen Watson.
He was just really impressive last week specifically. He's targeted 5 times, 0 catches allowed, had 2 pass breakups, both on third down, then also had that great run stop on 3rd and 1 where he came around the edge and tackled J.K. Dobbins short of the line to gain. He was great. It's part of a great defensive effort overall. How about Chris Jones? Last week, he sees a backup guard or a backup tackle. He's just foaming at the mouth. He had 6 pressures, 2 sacks, of course, both on 3rd down. He was tremendous. This defense, for some reason, still does not get the credit it deserves. They've held the opposition under 28 total points in 25 straight games. That is the longest streak for any team in 17 years. But you don't hear about them nationally. I don't know why, but it doesn't matter. They just keep winning, keep putting up great performances, and hopefully they'll keep it going here against the Saints.
Saints center went down, so I wonder if Chris Jones will line up as a zero tech this week.
He might.
If he's looking
for it.
Where's the weak dog in here? I'm going to go after him. And then with Jalen Watson, we talked about Chris Olave being really good. Now Rashid Shaheed is another one. But he fumbled the punt. He had the muff punt. So he's going to be coming back looking for a vengeance. And he's a talented player as well. So yeah, there's some challenges there. You want my fun stat, though, of this
Let's
game?
Hear it, yeah.
The Saints have only had 8 touchbacks when they're kicking off.
Okay.
They're near the bottom of the league. In fact, only – I'm going to get this right. I don't think the only 3 teams have fewer, meaning all we're seeing is touchbacks. We're at 70% now, right? It's not doing what we thought it was going to do. Like, oh, everybody's going to be in the landing zone, the landing zone. No, it's just 30, 30, 30, 30.
Yep.
Not these guys. 4 weeks, only 8 touchbacks.
Okay. Well,
so you might have a shot at a kickoff return this week.
I'm sure Dave Tobe is excited about that. Like, all right, we're going to have a shot at it. It is kind of funny how much we talked about the kickoff rule in the offseason. We really thought it was going to be a thing where teams weren't going to just surrender the 30-yard line, but so far it's been mainly the plan. It's just touchbacks. But I guess not this week. Let's see what we can do with it.
Yep, and a block punt against Philly by JT Gray, so you got to be careful there. But they're also last in punting. So, hey, maybe special teams, you can get it done this week if you're the Kansas City Chiefs. I do know this. New Orleans is a really good team. You and I both agree on that. And the Chiefs are facing some real adversity. But they've faced adversity and flashpoints every year since Andy Reid has been head coach. But you can be assured of this. They will not run from it. They'll attack it.